morning. We're glad you're here tonight. You glad you're saved? Amen. All right. We're spreading out a little bit. Got a little bit bigger crowd. We're so thankful that you came. We have some visitors from out of town for joining us. We're glad that you're here. We're going to just be real relaxed tonight. We'll sing a few, do some favorites. So think of a favorite hymn. Try to think of something that everybody would know, all right, because we don't have hymn books tonight. So make sure it's something that we might all know. And then we're just going to turn the service over to Brother Fry, and he's going to sing a little, preach a little, and we're going to have a good time tonight, all right? All right, let's start with the song, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. You can just remain seated and relax. Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. Sing it with me.
Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am.
See if you know the last verse. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight. Let's sing it together.
I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
All right, let's have a favorite. Who's thought of one? I don't know that. Who's got a favorite? How Great Thou Art. All right. We'll have to look it up here. I think it's near the front of the book.
Got it?
All right. Look under your lawn chairs for your hymn books there. Nobody bit. All right. Number 22, How Great Thou Art.
I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, when Christ shall come, with shout of the congregation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art.
Sing it out now.
Then sings my soul.
The wind keeps changing the page on her, and so she's playing How Great Thou Art, then there's Power in the Blood all in one song. So we're having a little problem. All right, what's another favorite? Anybody? Nobody wants to sing? Amazing Grace. All right, let's sing that. Amazing Grace. Do you know the number? Okay. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 10,000 years.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Have some prayer time tonight. Good to have Pastor McLean with us. He's going to open in prayer in just a moment. I thought maybe there'd be some prayer requests, so you'd be thinking about that, and I'll share a couple with you. We stopped by today. Of course, Brother Spong was here last night, but Mrs. Spong has not been out for about 4 weeks, and she was changing a soap dispenser that was underneath her counter. You know those pump ones? And she twisted the wrong way, and she's been a mess. But last night, she was able to sleep in her bed for the first time in a month. So we praise the Lord for that. And she's feeling a little bit better. She has some medical tests tomorrow, and today she had to drink all this stuff to be in preparation for that. And so she's just not feeling so good today. And tomorrow, of course, these medical tests. So we know how much the Spongs love music. And so since she couldn't come, we took Brother Fry and his guitar and gave her a private concert in her living room. And, man, she was just thrilled. She had a blast with that. So he sang a couple songs to her, and so they really had a good time with that. So, but pray for Mrs. Spong. And yesterday, Brother Paul was out witnessing, and a fellow walked up to him and said, "Are you a preacher? I need to talk to you." And he was a homosexual man who his partner had died, and he needed some hope. And so Paul led him to the Lord. Amen. And so would you pray specifically for that man that he would, that would change his life? And man, I'm going to tell you, the crowd out there, they'd hate if that changed his life. They wouldn't like to think that Jesus Christ can come into a life and he's no longer in sin anymore. And so pray for that. Brother Paul went to the funeral today just to try to talk to the man more and be an encouragement. So pray that he said he'd come to church maybe Sunday. So let's pray about that and see that the Lord will change his life. But I'm telling you, all the forces of hell are going to try to keep that man in his sin. And so we need, as the people of God, need to pray for him. All right, would you do that? Now, any other prayer requests tonight? No? Everybody's life is perfect. No? All right. All right. Anything specifically we could pray about tonight? Anybody sick or hurting? Yes, Brother Paul? Right. Janet's not here tonight. Back's bothering her, of course, so she still has to have this surgery. And last time they tried to do that surgery, they accidentally injected it. I don't know if you know what all happened there. The medicine that they had to put in, they actually hit the wrong artery and it went to a heart and stopped her heart. And I got a call and raced to the hospital and waited for Paul to get there. But when I got there, she said, "What's all the fuss about?" She was smiling. They got her back, and praise the Lord. So, but she's still got to have that surgery. So you can imagine she's a little nervous about that. And it's causing her a lot of problems in her throat and esophagus. So pray for her. And then she's not feeling well tonight with her back. So, all right. Any other prayer requests tonight? All right, Brother McLean, why don't you stand? We're glad that you're here tonight. Pastor McLean's the pastor of New Testament Baptist Church in Hamilton. How many years you been there now, Brother McLean? 35 years. Amen. We appreciate it. You don't look a day older than the day you came. Amen. Would you pray for us?
Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for the joy of our salvation. Tonight we're surrounded by miracles. Creation is a miracle. It's the work of your hand, and it testifies to your greatness, your power, your majesty, and we rejoice to be outdoors and to worship you and to praise you in the place where we are evidently witnessing all that displays your glory. And Lord, every one of us who's saved is a miracle. Our hearts are so desperately wicked, and we're sinners, and we were lost and without hope, and you saved us. We thank you for our speaker tonight, the miracle that you did in his life, and have done in his family and ministry. We thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer-answering God. And we do pray for Mrs. Spong, and we pray for the others that have been mentioned. Lord, we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would even think or dare to ask. And so we commend them to you and your keeping and to your grace and to your marvelous hand, and pray that you will do that which pleases you. Pray that you will comfort them and sustain them and keep them and help them. Now, Father, I pray that the preacher would have liberty and that nothing would hinder the work of the Spirit of God, who would work in my heart and the hearts of all who are assembled here. Lord, I pray that somehow by your grace this wouldn't just be another meeting, but it would be a life-changing experience for us. And we would go forth with boldness to represent well our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in a wicked world. Lord, I pray for our young people and for those who come after us, and pray that we will be able to stand strong and give them a clear testimony and be an encouragement to them to be bold for Christ. We love you, Father. Thank you again for this privilege. Please shed your blessing upon us again tonight, though we be unworthy, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing with me when we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Sing, there is coming a day. What a day that will be. There is come. Are you going to play? I'm sorry. 443. All right. Miscommunication. All right. What a day that will be. There is coming a day. Sing it together.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace.
Well, we're glad again tonight to have Brother Bruce Fry with us. We're just going to turn the service over to him. He's going to sing 5-6 songs as well as preach in there somewhere, and we're going to have a good time. So get your Bibles ready and get your ears ready to be blessed. And I'm going to say this again tonight. We are not going to take an offering. I want you to encourage you to use that money to go and get some good music for your home, all right? So right after the service, you just come right through the door here, and you can get some music at his music table. We also have some children's books that he and his brother and some others have written. Also, if I could encourage you, if you need to use the restroom, would you please go around to the front doors? It'll just be a distraction if you're coming through here during the preaching time. Would you do that for me? All right, after the service tonight, we have ice cream sandwiches for everybody, all right? So you'll enjoy that. So stay around, and we'll get you an ice cream sandwich before you go. All right, Brother Fry, we're glad that you're here.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. Well, good evening. I'm glad you are here. I'll tell you what, your pastor sure has been looking after me. He took me to a restaurant and got me some perch today. It was really good. And he's been very gracious and very kind, and I appreciate it very much. I've been praying about what to preach tonight. I had two messages on my heart, and the Lord just sort of cleared it up for me just a minute ago, so I thank him for that. And I didn't think you wanted to hear two messages tonight, did you? I thought I would sing a song that I wrote for my wife when we got married, but before I do, I just wanted to tell you a little, just praise the Lord. And My mother, about 2 years ago, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was very concerned about my mom, because when I would ask her, "Mom, when did you get saved? Tell me about when you were born again," she would always say, "Well, I got baptized when I was 16. And she always talked about being baptized, and never could get her to give me a clear, you know, time when she really truly trusted Christ. And so I was taking a class, a soul winning class, and part of my homework was to get people to go through the outline that I was learning. So I asked her if she would be my guinea pig. So I had two reasons for that, of course. I wanted to do my homework. I wanted my mom to hear the gospel again. And I asked my mother, I said, "Mom, what do you think you would say to God if you were standing before him and he said these words, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?'" And my mother's answer was this. She said, "I've lived a good life. I've raised three boys. I've been faithful to my husband, and I've never really done anything that bad." And so I went through the scripture and showed her that she was not trusting Christ. She was trusting in her good works. Because I asked her after I got through sharing everything that I shared with her, I said, "Mom, where was all the focus of your answer?" And she thought for a minute. She said, "On me." And I said, "That's right, Mom. See, you're not trusting Christ. You're trusting your good works." And I said, "Wouldn't you like to transfer your good works to the work that Christ did on the cross?" And she stood up and she said, "Nope," and just cut me off. And for a solid year, I prayed for my mom that God would open her eyes to the truth of his word. And then my mother started to experience some memory loss and went to the doctors, and they diagnosed her with Alzheimer's. And after we found out what was going on with her, I sat her down and I said, "Mom, I said, you understand what's happening in your mind and what's going on?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "I've got the big one. I don't want it, but I have it." And I said, "Yeah, Mom, I'm so sorry about that." And I said, "Mama, you know, about a year ago, you and I sat right over there at a picnic table, and I shared the gospel with you. Do you remember that, Mom?" And she said, "Yes, Bruce, I do remember that." And I said, "Well, Mama, I don't want to go around the country telling people how to go to heaven and my little mama die and go to hell. Will you let me share the gospel with you one more time today?" She said, "Okay, son." And so I shared the gospel with her, and I got to that point. I said, "Mom, I wrote down your answer when I asked you a year ago what you would say to God." And I read her answer back to her. I said, "You remember what you said, Mom? You'd lived a good life, raised three boys, been faithful to your husband, and never really did anything that bad?" And before I could even say another word, the tears started coming down her face, and she said, "That's not enough, is it, son?" I said, "No, Mama." I said, "Mama, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior today?" And she said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes, Mama, I can help you." And my mom trusted Christ, 80 years old, and I thank God for that. What a great memory that I have, and with that and with her. And so if you would pray for my mom, I'd appreciate that. My dad is 84, and he's trying to look after her the best he can, and he's doing a great job. My mother asked me one day, she said, "Bruce, why has this happened to me?" And I said, "Mama, I can't give you all the answers for that." I said, "But I think one reason this has happened to you is so that Dad could learn how to love you." She said, "Well, he's really doing that, isn't he?" And I said, "Yes, Mom, he is, and I'm proud of him for it." And so I'm still praying for my dad, not sure that he's truly trusted Christ as his Savior. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that God is going to save my daddy before something happens to him. I have a younger brother I'm praying for. His name is Dale. I believe God's going to save Dale. You know, sometimes and years ago I used to pray, but I was praying in unbelief. I was praying for him, but I was thinking, man, it's just not going to happen. And then I remembered how my brother prayed for me for 21 years. And you know, he might have got discouraged along the way, but he never stopped praying. And so I'm not going to stop praying for my loved ones either. And I know you have many you're praying for as well. But after I got saved, I met my wife at my brother's church. Well, she wasn't my wife then, but I met her. And then we got married a year later. I got saved in March the 10th of 98 and got married September the 4th of 1999. And God gave me a wife who loved the Lord, and I know she's praying for me tonight, and I love her dearly. And I wrote this song for our wedding. And I remember when I asked, my wife asked me, she said, "Are you going to sing anything at the wedding?" And I said, "Well, I was thinking about writing a song. What do you think about that?" And she said, "Well, it better be a good one." And she said, "All your songwriting buddies will be there, and they'll know whether it's a good song or not." And so I wrote this song and sang it to her the day we got married. And I remember, is this not working, brother? You want to switch it and see if that helps us? My chord's right in there if you want it. You got another one? Well, I'll tell the story while he's working on that. And so, no. Let me try this one then. The devil fell out of heaven into the soundboard. Mine's in my guitar case right there, brother. And so I'm singing this song to my wife at our wedding. And I noticed as I look out at all the people that had come, everybody in the church was weeping and crying. And I looked at my wife and not a tear. Nothing. Now, she was smiling real big, and I was thanking the Lord for that. But what I didn't know, my wife had begged God to help her not to cry during the wedding, mess up her makeup, mess all the pictures up and stuff. So I didn't know anything about how she had prayed. And so when I found that out, I felt a little better about it. Because my wife and I both are very tender-hearted. I mean, we can cry at a Pepsi commercial. It doesn't take a whole lot for us. You know what I'm saying? All right, brother, we'll see if that's it. Nothing. Let me see if I messed up. I put new strings on today. Maybe I tore something up. Will y'all talk amongst yourselves for just a moment? We'll be right with you, all right? What that could be. It's got to be something on my end, I would think. Well, let me tell you a joke. You know, I told you one last night. It didn't go too bad. There was this girl, and she was taking her first airplane ride, and she was so excited, and she was going to fly to California. And when she got on the plane, she saw the first class seats. And I'm not going to tell you what color hair she had. I'm just going to tell you that she was not very bright, okay? And so she saw those first class seats, and she said, oh, these look nice. And she just sat down in one. And the stewardess came by and said, ma'am, that's not your seat. Your seat's in the back of the plane. She said, no, this is my first plane ride. I'm going to California, and I believe this seat will suit me just fine. And he said, but you can't sit there. Somebody else is going to be sitting there. And she got blue in the face trying to tell her to move, but she wouldn't move. So she went to the pilot and said, look, this girl is just not very bright. And she won't move out of the seat. I need your help. And so the pilot went over, and he looked and saw the girl sitting there. And he said, oh, I can take care of this for you. Don't worry about it. So he walked over to her and whispered something in her ear. She got right up and went back to the back of the plane. And the stewardess said, what did you tell that girl? He said, I told her first class wasn't going to California. Bless her heart. Not getting it. It must be something in my guitar, brother. I tell you what we can do. Just give me one of them microphones and I can stick that in front of it. And we can move along. Can do that. We can make it work, brother.
Sorry about that. Can you leave it plugged in too?
That way if I get it. Oh, okay, sure.
I didn't test it. I should have tested it.
That's okay. Is this one turned on? Yep. So So this is a song I wrote and sang to my wife on my wedding day. Do I believe in miracles? I do. The Lord has blessed my life with you. By His grace, we've both been saved. This is a union God has made. Do I believe in miracles? I do. Do I love you with all my heart? I do. I never want to be apart from you. So on this day I promise to be faithful and true. Do I love you with all my heart? I do. This is God's will for me and for you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will see us through. We stand here in His presence, united by His truth. We bow before Holy God, I do. Do I know God is in control? I do. For He designed this long before we knew. A small part of His master plan. We're guided by His loving hand. Do I know God is in control? I do. Lord, give me wisdom to learn to love as much as Christ also loved the church. I believe in miracles, I do. Today we start a family brand new, with Christ the center of our lives, changing me and you. Do I believe in miracles? I do. This is God's will for me and for you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will see us through. We stand here in His presence, united by His truth. We bow before a holy God, I do. Do I believe in miracles? I do. Amen. This thing fell on us a little bit. You know, I've often thought about and thanked the Lord for saving me and giving me a Christian wife and two beautiful children who we've shared the gospel with, who have made professions of faith. And I've often wondered about my life and how different it would have been if I wouldn't have gotten saved. Maybe I would have married somebody else who didn't know the Lord, and maybe we would have had different children, and I was on my way to hell, and they would have followed me there. And that's kind of what this song's about. Just listen to the words of it. Well, he hid behind a Sunday morning paper, a little boy behind a box of Cheerios. She poured some coffee and thought about the church where their family never goes. And when she brought it up, he said, I won't be going. Guess I'm headed for that place made for folks like me. She looked across the table had her son. Said, would you like to go to church with me? He said, well, I want to go with my daddy to that place he said was made for him. That's what I want to do. Cause I love my daddy, and wherever he's going, I want to go there too. Well, he never heard any words that cut him deeper, and he couldn't hide the tears on his face. She said, if we hurry, we can make it. He had a change of destination on that day when he heard, well, I want to go with my daddy to that place he said was made for him. That's what I want to do. Cause I love my daddy, and wherever he's going, I want to go there too. Now they can sing Amazing Grace together, and he can smile when he hears his little boy say, well, I want to go with my daddy to that place he said was made for him. That's what I want to do. Cause I love my daddy, and wherever he's going, I want to go there too. I love my daddy, and wherever he's going, I want to go there too. Now this thing's falling on me. There we go. I think I got her tightened up now, brother. Well, I'm going to do one little funny song here for you. This is an old, old song written a long time ago. You have to listen carefully or you'll get lost, all right? Many, many years ago, when I was 23, was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. Widow had a grown-up daughter, she had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon the two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother because she was my father's wife. To complicate the matters, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. Little Junior then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me rather sad. For if he is my uncle, then that also makes him brother to the widow grown-up daughter, who of course is my stepmother. My father's wife had had a son, they kept him on the run, and he became a grandchild because he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. And if my wife's my grandmother, then I'm her grandchild. Every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild. Now I have become the strangest thing you ever saw. As husband to my own grandma, I am my own grandpa. I am my own grandpa. I am my own grandpa. It's funny, I know it really is so. I am my own grandpa. And it works out on paper, I promise you that, all right? Well, I want to sing a song. We were singing just a minute ago about going to heaven and being there, but you know, before we get all the way into heaven, there's a stop that we have to make. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight. And my daughter and I wrote a song together, our first song that we've written together, our only song that we've written together, actually, and it's called Well Done. And we've got some of the words from a book by a preacher friend of mine named Ed Dunlop. He does a lot of children ministries, and he writes these books. And he wrote this book about this fellow by the name of Josiah. Now, Josiah was in the dungeon of condemnation, and he couldn't get out because he had the chains of iniquity on him. And this is set back in the the time of the nights and things like that, and dragons. And so King Emmanuel comes by in the royal chariot, frees him from the dungeon, takes him to the castle of faith, and all seven of these books is his life as a Christian, or learning how to be a godly young man. And so in those books, when Josiah was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he would sing. And of course, they were just words on paper. But I asked my daughter one time, I said, you know, I said, Callie, those words sound like a song to me. And I said, what do you think they would sound like if he was singing out loud? So my daughter came up with the melody for this song. We added a chorus, and it's called Well Done. I sing the greatness of my King, my Lord Emmanuel. His power is great and far exceeds what mortal tongue can tell. My heart is full, I sing for him and trust that I may serve him well. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Our words I long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, from my King Emmanuel. I sing the love of my great King, my Lord Emmanuel. His loving kindness ransomed me, but why I cannot tell. His love led him to die for me. I trust that I may serve him well. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Our words I long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, from my King Emmanuel. I was once an outcast, a captive of sin, but his majesty found me, his love took me in. With hands that were nail-scarred, his majesty came and broke all my shackles. Now I praise his name. When I reach the golden city, humbly I will bow, and crowns I'll lay down at his feet, my Lord Emmanuel. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, from my King Emmanuel. Amen. And those are the words I want to hear one day when I get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Amen. So if you'll turn your Bibles tonight with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read one verse of Scripture and pray and jump right in here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Word of God says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I'll say that one more time, Hebrews 9:27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as I bow my head and my heart tonight, Lord, I realize without you I am nothing. And Lord, I need your help tonight. I pray that you would help me to preach this message in a way that would bring you honor and glory. I pray that it be a help to those that are going to hear it tonight. I pray that it would challenge us, that it would convict us. And Father, I pray most of all that you would use it in each and every heart and life as you see fit. And Lord, I know I'm not a great preacher, but I serve a great God. And Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be here for such a time as this. Please use this message. Father, this message is for people who are saved. But this message is also for people who are lost. And by chance, if there's anyone here who can hear my voice and they don't know 100% sure that heaven is their home, I pray that you would convict them and draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit and show them their need to be born again into your family by putting their trust and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the Christian that is here that needs this message tonight, as I need it myself, to remind me that I have a date with deity, that one day I'm going to stand before you and give an account of my life as a Christian. Lord, I pray that you'll use it again for your glory and honor. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Romans 2:16 says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8, I know there's only one chapter in 2 John. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." In 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." The next thing in God's timeline is the rapture of the church. And right after that happens, that's when the judgment seat of Christ begins. I have two chairs up here, and they both represent judgment. This left one here, my left and your right, represents the judgment seat of Christ. But this chair over here represents the white throne judgment. This judgment is for Christians. This judgment is for lost people. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is where you would stand one day. And I don't want you to stand here. I want you to be able to stand here. I know without a shadow of a doubt this is where I'm going to stand one day and give an account of my life. And we're going to talk about that. Before I do, I want to share an illustration I heard a preacher share one time. It's a true story about a man by the name of Bert Only. Now, Bert Only was an atheist, and he hated Christians. He hated churches, and he mostly hated preachers. And in the town that he lived in, every time a preacher would come to the church there in that town, he would do everything in his power to run the preacher off. And he had run many preachers out of that town. And the last preacher that had left, and a new preacher came in, and he was a young man, a young preacher, and he was going around knocking on the doors of all the stores and inviting people to come to church that Sunday, letting people know that he was the new preacher in town. Bert Only saw him going in and out of the stores, and he went, "Oh, I'm gonna go tan his hide just a little bit." And he walked up to this young preacher, and he said, "Hey," he said, "are you the new preacher in town, boy?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am. I hope you'll be coming to church Sunday." And he said, "No, I won't be coming to church." He said, "You see, I don't believe in church." He said, "I don't believe Christians are what they say they are. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in your God. I think everything you're doing is a farce, and I think you do more harm than good. What do you think about that, young man?" That young preacher thought for a second, and he looked up at that man, Bert Only, and he said, "Well, sir, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." He said, "Don't you quote the Bible to me, boy." He said, "I don't believe the Bible, so that's no argument with me. Just tell me what you think about the statement I just made about your God, about your church, and about your faith." And that young preacher looked at him again and said, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And Bert got red in the face. He got mad. And he said, "Boy," he said, "I'm trying to have an argument, and you won't even have an argument with me. Are you so stupid that you can't even answer a simple question?" And the young preacher said one more time, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And Bert got so mad, he said, "Forget you, buddy." He said, "I can't even talk to you," and he walked away. And guess what? He got away from that preacher, but he couldn't get away from the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11-12, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Yeah, old Bert got away from that preacher, but he couldn't get away from the word of God, and it pierced his heart that day. He said on his way home, he was walking over a bridge, and he said it was almost like the frogs in the ponds were just screaming out, "Judgment, judgment, judgment," and he just couldn't get away from it. And he later trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Because a young preacher didn't get rattled. He didn't try to argue. He just quoted the Word of God. And you know, you can try to win people to Christ. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So anytime that I witness to people, I always quote Scripture. I'm not trying to to act like I'm a big shot or know a lot more than other people. I just know that there's power in the Word of God. And in his own testimony, that's what Bert Only said, from an atheist to a Christian. Praise the Lord. So first of all, tonight, we're going to talk about this first seat here, the judgment seat of Christ. It takes place after the rapture of the church, and it is for the Christian. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Luke 22:36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Do you realize that word "account" in the original language means that you're going to tell him what you did with your time, with your talents, with your testimony? That's a sobering thought, is it not? From the day that I got saved on March the 10th of 1998, when I stand here, I'm going to tell Jesus Christ what I did and why I did it, the motive behind it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid," verse 11, "which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." That word "manifest" means brought to light. "For the day," talking about this day, "shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now, I'm born again. I'm saved, but before I get all the way into heaven, this is a stop that I have to make. I have a preacher friend of mine said, "I believe we're going to be standing on nothing and staring into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Bible says here, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be ashes or crowns. It depends on what you did and why you did it. Now, you cannot work your way to heaven, but God is going to judge the works you did, or whether you did it for his glory or for your own. The Bible says that there are five crowns that we can win at the judgment seat of Christ, and even if we win a crown, we're not going to keep it. We're going to lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 talks about, "And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now I want you to imagine something. Suppose it's my turn to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The rapture has happened, and now it's my turn to step up here and tell Jesus Christ what I did and why I did it. Now I will have to talk about this day. I'll say, "Lord, you remember I went to Canada and I preached to the people. They were out on the grass. I was up on the flatbed truck." And I said, "You remember that day?" And of course, he'll remember everything. And I believe I will too. I don't understand how it all works, but when we get there, we'll have the mind of Christ. And he could just roll a film down and show me everything I did from the day I got saved until that day, but he's not going to do that. I'm going to tell him what I did and why I did it, the motive behind it, what sort it is, the Bible says. And so here, there's crowns that he wants to give me for faithful service for him. But if I did it for the wrong motive, then that's going to be burnt up, because that's going to be a bad work. And so imagine that I'm standing here and I'm saying, "Lord, you remember I preached that message, I studied, I prayed, and I asked for your power." And if he looks at me, and he's going to be able to look right through me, and he'll say, "Bruce, you really didn't do that for me to get the glory. You did it hoping that people would think you were a good preacher," or whatever the reason may be. And if that happens, then that's going to be a bad work and it's going to be burned up. But if I do it for him to get the glory and for the love of Christ and because I wanted to help people, then there's a crown, a reward he wants to give me there. At the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be ashes or there'll be crowns. This is the day that we should be preparing ourselves for, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to preach on these, but I'm going to just tell you there's the crowns that you can win. One is called the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Incorruptible is heavenly. Corruptible is earthly. Then there's a crown of rejoicing, a soul winner's crown, if you will, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy of crown of rejoicing? Are not ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Luke 15:10 says, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. My brother calls that a hallelujah hoedown. When a person repents of their sins and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, you know that there's rejoicing in heaven. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Then there's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is given to those who are faithful in ministering the word. The crown of life, James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And how we talked about last night, how we face our trials and temptation, a man or woman who conquers during those trials. Then lastly, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Steadfastness in the faith, running the race with patience, which it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So here you have the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. You've been born again. You know, you're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you only die once. You're born again, you're saved. This is a meeting that you're not going to miss. You're not going to be late for it. You are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of your life as a Christian. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But then we have a second judgment. If you'll turn your Bibles now, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20 with me. And we'll talk about this other judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne. That's why it's called the white throne judgment. And him that sat on it, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Lamb's Book of Life. In the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a name of every human being that's ever been born, that'll ever be born, and it's written in that book. But if you die without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name's going to be blotted out of the book. And when you stand at this judgment, and the angel opens the book, and the Lord says, is his name there? And the angel will say, I'm sorry, Lord, his name's not here. It's been blotted out. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Exodus 32:33, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Deuteronomy 29:20 says, the Lord will not spare him, and the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in the book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Psalm 69:28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. What a sad day that would be. But the Bible here says that if your name's not written in the book of life, that you're going to be judged out of the other books. Look back at Revelation chapter 12. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. You see, God keeps records for lost people and for Christians as well. You know, I've shared this before with people to help them to understand that your life is being recorded. Suppose this is your birth certificate, this is your death certificate, everything in between is everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought is written here. And God keeps very good records. And at this judgment, when people stand here, it's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a very, very bad day for people. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody can work their way to heaven because Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. There's really only two religions in the whole wide world, do or done. You're either going to try to do something to win God's favor or realize there's nothing you can do and put your trust and faith in what Christ has done. But many people who tried to work their way to heaven, they said, well, I got baptized. That's going to get me there. They're going to be standing here. Or they said, well, I gave money to the church. That's not salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. It doesn't say whosoever shall give money, whosoever shall be baptized, whosoever shall be a Baptist, a Catholic, or anything. It says whosoever shall call, and you have to call on God in repentance and faith, as it talks about in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Repentance toward God and repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So imagine, here's somebody that is standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the white throne judgment. They've already been in hell. They've already been in the pit, and they're pulled out of the pit, and they stand here. You know, hell is like the local jail cell. And then when you stand before God here and you get judged for the works that you did because you never trusted the work that Christ did, then the Bible says you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Have you ever thought about this judgment? You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I believe, as a Christian, that wherever the Lord is, there I'm going to be. I believe I'm going to be watching this happen. And I believe that if I see somebody from Canada that I preach to walk across there and be cast into the lake of fire, it's going to break my heart. It's already breaking the heart of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. But when you get here, you're in trouble. I don't know who all's going to be here, but I know a few people, according to the Bible, that's going to be here. Judas Iscariot is going to be standing at this judgment one day. He kissed the door of heaven and died and went to hell. There was a rich man that was in Luke chapter 16, and the Bible says he was a certain rich man. And then there was a poor man named Lazarus. You see, Lazarus has a name, but the rich man has no name. Why? Because he died without Christ and his name was blotted out of the book of the living. And that rich man one day is going to stand here and plead his case, if you will. Imagine, what is he going to say to Jesus? Who's looking at him, I'm sure, with eyes of love. He wanted to save him, but he never trusted Christ. And he may say something like this. When the angel opens the book and said, Lord says, is his name in the book? And the angel says, no, Lord, his name's not here. What's this guy going to say? Wait a minute. My name's got to be in there. I was a member of such and such a church, and I gave money, and, you know, I didn't go all the time or anything, and I wasn't overzealous in my religion, but I was very religious, and I did a few things, and I did. Come on, my name's got to be in there. Well, could you look again? Please. And then finally, he's going to realize he's guilty. He's doomed. He's damned. And he's headed for destruction. And I believe with tears streaming down the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And he's going to say, you trusted in your works to get to heaven. You never trusted me. And works don't work. The devil himself, Satan, is going to bow the knee here. And he's going to say, yes, you are Lord. He's going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord and be cast into the lake of fire. You see, while you have breath, you can cry out to him, beg him for forgiveness, trust Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, and he can become your Lord. He's my Lord. But if you don't do that and you die without doing that, you'll stand here and you'll confess him as Lord here. But you won't call him my Lord here. You'll just call him Lord. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Because this appointed unto men wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Which judgment will you face? Are you saved? Are you born again? You know, the Bible says that there will be many people who are ashamed at his coming. Christian, I'll ask you this question. Is there anything between you and your God right now that you would be embarrassed about if the rapture happened right now and you were standing before Jesus Christ? Is there anything that you've been watching? Anything you've been listening to? Anything that you've been doing? Any place that you've been going? And anybody you've been hanging around with? Would you be ashamed at his coming? Because he says in his word, a lot of people say that he says, I'm coming soon. It doesn't say he's coming soon. It says he's coming quickly. In the twinkling of an eye. If he was coming soon, he had already been here. Everything that's going on, I believe it's not going to be too long. I believe that judgment is coming. But he is a long-suffering and he is a patient God. And I'm so grateful for that. But this appointed unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 and 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, a lot of people think, well, if I see the rapture of the church and I see all this stuff going on, all these bad things going on, then I'll trust Christ. But you know, in between the judgment seat of Christ and in between the white throne judgment, that's when the great tribulation is going to be going on. And if you've heard the gospel and you've rejected the gospel, it's going to be too late for you. You will take the mark of the beast and you will stand before God in judgment one day. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Which judgment will you be facing? Because this appointed unto men wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight, you say, you know what? If I was to die right where I'm sitting right this second, I don't have confidence. I'm not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. And I surely don't want to face the wrath of God. If that's you, nobody looking around, just between me and you and God, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Bruce, if I died right this second, I'm not sure I'm a child of the King. I'm not sure that I've ever truly been saved. And if the rapture of the church happened right now, I'm afraid I'd be left behind. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that I could pray for tonight? Anybody at all? I'm looking around. I don't want to miss you. Would you be honest with me and honest with God? Bruce, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. And I don't want to stand before the wrong judgment. Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. I have to assume that everybody here knows Christ is their Savior, and I sure hope you do. But Christian, I want to ask you this. If the rapture happens, right while I'm speaking right now, it could. Nothing else has to happen before that happens. If you stood before him, would you be ashamed? Is there anything in your life that you need to get right with God? You say, Brother Bruce, you know what? If the rapture of the church happened right now and I stood before Christ and had to give an account of my life from the day that I was born again Christian to that day, yeah, there's some things that maybe I should probably get right. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody I could pray for like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Father, you've seen the hands of your children tonight. And Lord, one day we're going to stand before you and give an account of our lives as Christians. Lord, I want to be able to give a good account. I know that nobody's perfect. I know there's some things that I've done that were displeasing to you since I've become a born-again Christian, but I thank you for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, Father, what we don't make right here, we're going to have to make it right there. So I pray, Father, that we would all examine ourselves in the faith and make sure there's nothing in between us and our God. Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can open your eyes. You know, folks, as I preach this message, it always convicts me. Because I know there's some things that I could do better. I could pray more. I could read my Bible more. I could memorize more scriptures. There's a lot of things that convict me when I preach this message. But you know, to me, it's just a very sobering thought to even just think the thought that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day to give an account. And so I want to be ready for that day. When I was a brand new baby Christian, I remember when I was learning about this, I thought, hey, when I get there, I'm going to hand in my report card. But now I realize I'm going to be on my face worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if anything I've done in the last 17 years is pleasing to Him, and He wants to give me a reward for that, I'm going to be very grateful. And I will surely lay it back at His feet and give it to Him because He deserves it all. So I hope this has been a help and a blessing to you. Thank you so much for listening. All right, Pastor, did you want me to do some more songs? Or y'all ready to go home, or you want me to sing some more? Sing something, okay. I've written a new song. I'm going to play it for you. I was reading in the book of Acts about Saul's conversion on the Damascus Road. And I have a message. I'm not planning on preaching this message while I'm here, but I have a message where I kind of incorporate my testimony. And I talk about the wind of conviction, the wind of conversion, and the wind of change in the life of a person who is born again. And I use John chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence they cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so I talk about the wind and the wind of conviction. You know, before a person gets saved, the conviction has to come in. The Holy Spirit of God has to draw a person. John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so there's a drawing period where you get under conviction and the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on the door of your heart. And then there's the wind of conversion when you finally bow your head, heart, and knee and trust Christ as your Savior. And then after that, there's a wind of change and your whole life changes. And I know some people's lives change a little more drastically than others. But the Apostle Paul, who was named Saul, his life was very, very dramatically changed, as we all know from reading the Word of God. So I was reading his testimony and kind of put this song around his testimony there. And I believe the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God came into his life when he saw Stephen die. Because Stephen died like nobody he had ever seen die before. And then, of course, on the Damascus Road is where he got saved. And then his life changed after that. And this is called Remember the Wind. When the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, there was a man named Saul who watched him as he bled. He held the coats of the men who stoned him to death, but he never saw a man die like that. You remember the wind of conviction. Deep inside you knew that something was wrong. The tug on your heart was gentle then strong. You remember the wind. Saul was on the road to Damascus one day when a light shone from heaven and he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he fell on his knees. You remember the wind of conversion when you called on the Lord to save your soul. Gone was your burden of guilt and sin. You remember the wind. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you. Ananias put his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And the scales fell off of his eyes. Do you remember the wind of change when the world no longer looked the same? And God gave you a brand new name. Do you remember the wind? The wind of conviction blew into your soul. The wind of conversion has now made you whole. The wind of change will continue to grow as you meditate on His holy word. You remember the wind. You remember the wind. Remember the wind. Amen. Well, I'm just going to sing till you tell me to shut up, all right? Atonement Day is at hand. A little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle door. As the lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, "My little lamb, you cannot stay. And for my sin, the price you must pay, a sacrifice that is so great, my little lamb, you must go away." The God looked down from heaven's throne. He saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, He would have to send His Son. As Jesus left that holy place, a tear streamed down His face as He watched from a distance. You could hear Him say, "My precious lamb, you cannot stay. Man, to redeem the price you must pay, my only son, I will give away. Oh, precious lamb, you must go today." Well, hallelujah, praise the lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. And Almighty Lamb, I'm so glad you came. And all my sin you have washed away. You saved my soul. Now I can say, Almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday. Almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday. Amen. Well, let me do one for the kids. I did the flying frog last night, so I'll do the Herman the Bullfrog tonight. My brother wrote this one, and I need your help. It goes like this. Hello, children. Now, how are you? And then you go, fine, 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 five times. All right, you ready? Hello, children. Now, how are you? You don't sound fine, 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 fine. I can tell you that. Put a little more umph in it. It'll help me just a little bit, all right? Hello, children. Now, how are you? There you go.
Tell you right now what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a story written just for you about a wide mouth, blue-eyed, educated, dignified, web-footed, high-jumping, full of pride friend of mine, Herman the Bullfrog. You can find him in the evening sitting on a log, singing his favorite song, gazing at himself in the waters there, combing and parting his slimy hair. With his long yellow tongue in the wink of an eye, he can sneak up slow, catch and swallow a fly. That's Herman, Herman the Bullfrog. He's got his very own Pawnee-nosed Jungle Jim. He's got 100 tadpoles named for him, King of the Mud and the Lily Pads. What a wonderful life he has. Now he can jump up higher than the tallest pine, and he can move a lot quicker than the naked eye, turn a triple somersault laughing all the time. And now one day Lily the butterfly came a flutter and a flitting and a floating by. She said, "Hello, Herman, how are you? Got a thing or two to ask of you. Where you gonna go when you die? Where you gonna be in eternity? What are you gonna say on that fateful day? Don't you know Jesus lived and died and rose again?" And what old Herman say? "Well, now go on, Lily, why can't you see? I got flies to catch and frogs to meet. There ain't no need to hurry, I've got time. So goodbye, girl, won't you move along? Don't bother me, I'm having too much fun. Go sing your song, someone new, not me." But little did Herman the Bullfrog know, that very same moment down deep below, there was a one-eyed alligator marking time, watching and awaiting with a hungry eye. Poor old Herman right before my eyes. I think I messed up. You know, sometimes the little men turn the light out on me. And they just did it. Let me go back to Lily. Lily, now Lily the butterfly. Oh, never mind. Buy the CD and you can hear the song, all right? I was just kidding. Oh, me. Wow. Can you wipe that off the recording? That helped me a little bit. All right. Well, I'll play you another one. You know, the greatest day of my life was the day that I got saved. And another great day is when I started studying the Word of God and I realized that nobody could take my salvation from me. I'm eternally secure. And you don't find the words eternal security in the Bible, but you do find the words everlasting life and every eternal life. And I counsel with people sometimes and that think that they can lose their salvation. And I said, "Well, when you got saved, you must have just got part-time life." I said, "I got eternal life, and that's forever." Amen. The Bible says in John 10:27-30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And of course, you go to Ephesians 1:13, and the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if this guitar pick was me, the moment that I got saved, I was placed in the hand of the Father and the hand of the Son and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the Bible says that no man can take that from me. That means you can't take my salvation from me. I'm a man. I can't take it from myself. I am eternally secure. The moment that I got saved, I was forgiven of my sins. I was accepted in the Beloved. My name was written in red in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can never be blotted out. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. I mean, so many things. And the Bible says that I was adopted into His family. And what a great thought. And I had a friend of mine, and he and his wife couldn't have any children, and they adopted a little boy. And they asked me to pray about writing a song about adoption. And I was in a hotel room in Nicholasville, Kentucky, when I wrote this song several years ago. And it's called Adopted. I came into this world alone, no family or home, lost and without hope. Though our blood was not the same, you gave me your last name, and I became your own. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. You gave me clothes and food to eat, took care of my every need.
when I was but a youth. He shared God's precious word with me so that I could clearly see the promise of His truth. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. I came into this world alone, and no family or home, lost and without hope. Though our blood was not the same, you heard when I called your name, and I became your own. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for my earthly family, and for heaven I call home. Amen. More? One more. You got a favorite preacher? I don't know that one. All right, let me see. Let me think for a second. I brought my list because... I'm sorry? Yeah. Well, the first thing that goes to memory is hard to recall that second thing. That's my favorite saying, and I forget that sometimes. I'll tell you what, I'll do my testimony song. This is the first song I wrote after I got saved. A young man, a bottle in his hand, not too long ago, that was me. Every night, a Saturday night, dim motel lights, not too long ago, that was me. And that was me who had strayed, confused and afraid, counting all the cost, that was me. Kneeling by his bedside, tears flowing from his eyes, not too long ago, that was me. Jesus Christ let him in, forgiving all his sins, and not too long ago, that was me. And that was me who had strayed, confused and afraid, counting all the cost, that was me. A friend approached and said, I heard you found the Lord. I replied, He was unlost, that was me. My Savior was unlost, and that was me. Amen.
All right, that was good tonight, wasn't it? All right, let's thank them for coming tonight. Would you do that?
Oh, you're very kind.
All right, just a couple of announcements before we go. We'll have a word of prayer. And we have ice cream sandwiches for everybody. If I could get some ladies to help me with that, Amanda, Leah, Casey, Emily, or whoever's out there, that row of girls. Mackenzie, if you would go into the freezer and grab those ice cream sandwiches and just come out here with some boxes of those. And we'll turn them loose on you in a minute, all right? All right. We're glad that you came. Now, if you'd like to leave your lawn chair, if you weren't here last night, you don't know about this, and you'd like to leave it because you're coming back tomorrow night or Sunday, you can just put it inside the gym. That would be fine. Now, if you're not coming back tomorrow night, but you are coming back Sunday, could you do me a favor and put it right up against the wall, because they like playing shuffleboard here on Saturday night. So don't leave it out in the middle of the floor. Put it up against the wall so that they can still have their fun on Saturday night. We're glad tonight. We've been praying for Colton. How many of you have been praying for Colton Visser? Hey, boy, amen. That's great. And he's had a rough little go here and going through some persecution for his faith, and made a real tough decision and went and talked to his mom. And with her consent, I told him, I said, make sure you get your mom's consent before you make any decision. She's still your mom. And she's allowed him to move out so he could attend church and serve the Lord. And so it was a hard decision for her and for him, but would you pray for him? He's here with us tonight. We're glad that he was able to be here, and but he's going to have a rough road ahead of him, so you need to pray for him that the Lord will help him, and we're just so thankful that he's trying to do what's right and serve the Lord, so you encourage him every chance you get, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Baker, would you stand and lead us in prayer tonight, please?